Welcome back to episode 51 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and I am the real docent of perfection.
Ah, nice, nice. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And this last BNR update was treacherous to all the Luca and Winota players. But everyone else, they thought it was fire.
Agent of treachery and fires. Right. That was good.
That's all I got.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
Before we start, we want to thank our patrons. Like always, we appreciate all of your support. And if you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount. And you can join our Discord, and we want to send you fun prizes. So come check it out.
Another really easy way to support is to like and subscribe, comment, give us some feedback, and whatever program that you are listening to our podcast on. Also, if you're looking to pick up any singles or sealed product from TCG Player, we do have a TCG Player affiliate link located on our website at guardianprojectpodcast.com. If you could mosey on through that link to TCG Player to purchase your singles and sealed product, we would really appreciate it.
I think the best part about the only summary that we have on Apple Podcasts is it says that we're a great weekly recap episode of Magic, which is what we used to do. We used to do at the beginning of every episode, but we don't do that anymore. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, and don't copy and paste that review just to be funny. Don't do that.
But if you do, I will laugh.
Yeah, me too.
And before we start, we know there's a lot happening in the world today. We're still dealing with a global pandemic. On May 25th, a man named George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. This act has sparked protests across the nation and across the world. And we know that a lot of people want to get involved, but may not know how. In the show notes below, we're going to have some links to some places you can donate if you're looking for ways to get involved. So check those out if you're looking. We haven't said much on social media. Just know we're watching, and if you have anything that you want to share with us, please send links our way. Coyle, what do we have on the agenda for our episode this week?
This week, we are going to talk about the foreshadowed, in my intro, banned and restricted announcement that they made.
Yes.
Where we talk about some bannings that happened in Standard and a entire mechanic change.
I'm thrilled. This was one of the best announcements ever.
I have different thoughts, but we'll get to that in a minute. And we're also going to talk about the Mark Rosewater teaser for all the core 2021 cards, all the specific like clues for cards. We are going to go through those and go over the ones that we think we already know, according to the internet, and speculate on the ones we don't.
The internet knows all.
It has all the information somewhere, right? And we're going to finish out with a commander of the week with one of your decks, Andy.
Tibor and Lumia.
That's two. That's two people.
Two people, one card. Wow.
Wow.
So banned and restricted announcements. So you said you have some thoughts. Walk us through what was banned and restricted and or... There's nothing restricted. There's just bans and changes.
Technically, I don't know where you put suspended cards for the historic format, like somewhere between banned and restricted or something. I don't know.
Sure.
But we have some suspended cards as well. So two cards are banned in Standard. We have Agent of Treachery and Fires of Invention have both been banned in Standard. And in Historic, they're suspended, which means they are banned but have an opportunity to become unbanned if they think that maybe it wasn't a righteous ban, if you will.
Righteous.
So, Fires of Invention, 4-mana enchantment that allows you to cast 2 spells on your turn for free without using any of your mana, as long as those spells CMC are less than or equal to the number of lands you control, is being run in a ridiculous amount of decks, achieving a 55% win rate, and having even or favorable matchups against every single one of the other top archetype of deck. On top of the fact that Fires of Invention was also playing Luca, Copper Coat Outcast, to cheat out an Agent of Treachery from the deck for free.
Hold on. Can you say an Agent of Treachery, or is it four Agent of Treacheries?
Well, the Winota decks were getting out four all in one turn. Luca, you can only activate sure. once per turn, but you're right. Every time they activate, they're hitting an Agent of Treachery. So Agent of Treachery was just too consistent and too cheatable out for them to like only ban Fires of Invention and keep Agent of Treachery. Again, Winota decks were playing absolutely no blue and still playing Agent of Treachery and hitting it almost every time. And if you could do that on turn four and start stealing your opponent's lands, it's game over. So
our Discord rejoiced when that announcement came out. Oh, I think yeah. there were like three or four people that were like, I can play Standard and Brawl again.
That's right. So the other big change that happened in this
big PR, yeah, this is big.
This is all about Companion. So they changed how the Companion mechanic works. So Companion is still from your sideboard. It still counts as one of your 15 cards in your sideboard, and you still have to build around the building restriction for Companion. The change now is you cannot cast your Companion from your sideboard or from your Companion slot, whatever you want to call it, anymore. Now you have to pay 3 generic mana at sorcery speed to put your Companion in your hand. And then you can cast it as though it was a card in your hand at whatever speed you're allowed to. So they completely destroyed Companion. This is ridiculous.
It's fine. This is fine.
They just killed a they made a brand new mechanic. And yes, it was overpowered. Loras was a bad idea. Some of the other
I'd rather play against Luris if I have to play against Karuga Ayorian one more time, but that could be symptoms of Agent of Treachery and Fires of Invention that made me so frustrated playing against those decks.
Yeah.
At least the Luris decks were fast. Let's do this.
Sure.
Get it over with. I don't have to play a 4-hour game.
I guess I agree with you. I was sort of referencing Vintage about the Loras being a mistake.
Okay, sure.
But I just think this is way overboard. I think 3 mana to put it in your hand at sorcery speed is way too much of a hit. I mean, that's more than one shot of commander tax. It's at sorcery speed, so it kind of makes... Like, Lutri was unfortunately kind of unplayable before, and now it's absolutely completely unplayable.
So the special note is it's a special action and not an activated ability. So it happens immediately and can't be responded to and can't be countered or stopped by cards like Phyrexian Revoker. So, I mean, at least you can pay your 3 mana and you're guaranteed to get into your hand. A lot of people that are playing Karuga said, well, it's okay because in a Karuga deck, you could pay 3 on turn 3 mm-hmm. if you didn't play something else and it really didn't make a difference. But I get it for a Luris deck. Now Luris costs 6.
Yeah, that's
in 6 and I guess 2 turns if you're playing it in standard. It could be 1 turn in commander if you built that in commander. But I think this is the first time they've errated an actual mechanic like this. I can't think of another time. I was trying to find some information on an actual mechanic that says one thing or well I guess the text isn't actually on the card, right, for Companion,
right? Well, no, it is the Companion does is it on all of them text.
It has reminder text that just says you can cast this from
your sideboard do the building restriction.
Yeah So it's interesting. To be honest, I play a lot of standard and I was overseeing this, but I don't know. I personally wouldn't build a commander deck with Companion because you're restricting yourself in a format that can play every card, basically. That's just me personally, but I agree, probably paying 3 mana to put this card into your hand to use it may have completely removed the entire mechanic from the game.
Yeah, I mean,
would it have made a difference if it was 2?
Yes.
Yeah,
2 mana. I mean, being able to put it in your hand on turn 2, I think, makes a huge difference because you can't cast Loras on turn 2. You can cast Loras on turn 3 if you're just doing lands.
But you usually don't cast Loras until like 5 or 6.
That's true, but you can put it in your hand on 2. and then you'll have it. The only way I can find, like, I don't know if someone's going to break this mechanic some way by being able to get out like a three mana land. It doesn't exist. That doesn't have to have you sacrifice lands or something, just to get your hand size up to 8 and then discard a giant creature to reanimate or something. I don't know if someone can take advantage of this that way, but 3 mana to draw a card, if you want to call it the equivalent.
Oh, sure. Okay, I'm following now. I was like, I don't know what you're saying. Now yeah. I know. 3 mana, draw a card, just stick it in your hand so that you can discard something else.
Exactly. So you can discard down to hand size at the end of the turn. I don't know if that's worth it, but it's the only way I could say is like maybe you could work around or break the change to this mechanic.
But you have to go slow because you can't play any cards out of your hand. It has to be just land.
Well, yeah, if you're on the draw.
Right, but I still just don't think you're advantage. I guess it's possible you could discard something, but if you're already waiting till turn 4 to be able to do anything with it, right?
Right. Yeah, so I just think it's neutered. Sorry.
You're fine. Happens.
It's just... I don't know. I think they ruined it. I think they should lower that cost back down to 2. Plus, Garuda, you shouldn't be able to pay 3 mana to do it with Garuda because it's even CMC only. So he should be different at least. Change him to 2. Thanks, Wizards.
Maybe they could put Lutri back into Commander now.
I think every companion should be legal in Commander now. Every single one.
You ought to pay 3. I mean, as of right now, we know that there were absolutely no changes to it, but I'd be happy playing that little otter in my sideboard. But again, it's the same thing. You just have it now for your Spellslinger deck. You can pay 3 and then get your loot tree. Yeah. I mean, that's really all it is. So it still probably goes into every deck, which was their argument against it, was that there feels like no restriction.
I don't know, but 6 mana for a loot tree doesn't, that seems fair now.
If they had just made it 6, maybe it wouldn't have been banned, I guess.
Maybe.
So Mark Rosewater on Blogatog, we like doing this episode, posted spoilers for cards that are coming out with the next set, Core 2021. So previews start tomorrow on 6/4. And you can actually tune into twitch.tv/magic at 10 a.m. Eastern time. For the kickoff. So we're going to go through this and make guesses on what cards we think are going to appear based on his hints.
Do you already have the list ready for the ones that we already know about? I'm trying to look up the post right now.
I don't have the post in front of me, but I remember what they are.
Oh, okay.
For the most part. So there was a... There was a spoiler post, so I guess, to be fair, there will be spoilers in this. Unconfirmed, obviously. So it was actually posted in our Discord channel at one point, and it was an interesting read on what some people think is going to appear in the next set. But... let's just start at the top of the list with things that are new. So a brand new Planeswalker from a plane we've already visited. I don't know what plane, but we've already visited it. And I wonder, because it just seems like, okay, so this is a core set Teferi, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they mention Vanguard cards and legendary creatures. So Vanguard cards are pretty old, and maybe it's something to do with the Weatherlight again. So maybe we could get a Planeswalker from Dominaria that has been referenced before. I don't know.
Okay.
But I'd be happy with just like some random new Planeswalker from like Innistrad or something too.
Where they're just like, I must have missed you when we were on Innistrad. That was the Oath.
Yeah,
Oath
I was Watch. Just, I was actually just down the street for that whole week.
I was fighting some zombies just like you were, but just down the street.
You were in front of Emrakul. I was behind Emrakul. We just didn't see each other.
Tentacles get in the way, and you don't know.
Maybe
what's
they were
happen.
On the moon. Maybe they were on the moon, and on but the they were moon? Just on the other side of the moon,
oh.
So you didn't see them. On the moon,
other
you know, so
yeah, other side. Okay, yeah.
I have no idea what this Planeswalker is going to be. One obviously is one of the most vague ones. You can't
gonna be,
really.
It's going to be a character from Amon Kep. and it'll either be, and one of them I hope is a lot more than the other. It'll either be Giru, which is probably the more realistic one.
Is Giru a planeswalker?
No. He isn't a planeswalker, but like his spark is, spark ignites type of deal when Samut leaves or something or comes back. I'm not sure. Or Hazoret. If Hazoret becomes a planeswalker, that I think would be really cool.
A planeswalker god? It could have both card types.
Hey.
Ooh. Hey,
Nicol Bolas. God Pharaoh.
Indestructible planeswalker god. Indestructible. So it's got a static ability that you can't get rid of. So then it's like a legendary indestructible enchantment, but also had planeswalker abilities. It could just only have minuses.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Discard a card, deal 2 damage to each opponent for like a +1 or something like that. Because just thinking OG Hazoret, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess there's only one Hazoret. There aren't two. Because there's no God Eternal Hazoret. There's only one.
Right.
Minus.
She needs another card, I think.
Minus. I don't know what Hazoret would do for a minus.
Give a creature haste and double strike.
Okay. What's the ultimate?
Stab
something with the spear holds.
Yeah.
Destroy
target player.
Ooh. Ooh.
Target player loses the game.
All right. The next point on here is a card that lets you draw half your library. I'm here for that.
Yeah. How much is it going to cost?
Six?
Six mana, draw half your library?
It could be draw half your library, but then also do something awful, and that's just not mentioned here.
Yeah, you lose the game. If you
like draw half your library, but you can't cast any additional spells this turn.
I just feel like you could win so easily by drawing half your library.
But if you couldn't cast any more spells, is it worth it?
Mm? Probably.
What?
Probably. It's probably still worth it. Think about it. You have Locust God out there. You go, oh yeah, I'll draw 50 cards or 30 cards at the time. Yeah, I'll draw 30 cards. You can't cast spells for the rest of the game. Oh no!
I have all my bugs. The next one, a +1/+1 tribal lord for a creature type that's never had one, and it's a creature type with over 50 cards already in print.
Well, you are the one that came up with the tribe that you told me about, and I haven't come up with a rebuttal tribe. So
which tribe did I come up with?
Dog.
Dogs? Okay, so sure. Okay, so there was a weird post from the Wizards account that says that there, hold on, let me find it real quick. I posted it in this chat. Okay. It said from Magic the Gathering, the @wizards_magic, and it says, good hound dog, give them pets. But the word hound has a strike through on it. Like maybe all hounds are becoming dogs. But I didn't look it up in Scryfall yet, but I mean, it would make sense, right? So if I do an advanced search in Scryfall for the creature type hound, I wonder how many are going to appear. There's a lot. There's over 60.
Oh, okay.
So maybe
they are.
Maybe we're going to get Hound to Dog Erratas and Hound Dog Lord.
Maybe.
It's just a hound dog, but it's just a dog.
A dog lord? No.
I was trying to think of all of the creature types that didn't have a lord already. And so like a lot of the regular ones are out, right? Like no merfolk, no elves,
no goblins,
no vampires,
no zombies,
no fairies. Fairies already has one as well.
No constructs even.
No minotaurs.
Yeah.
But I'd be down for like a weird one.
Yeah,
like
kobolds.
Give us plants or something. Or
does plant I think plants has one. I think that kicker, my kicker green creature gives
the tree folk
to plants and other tree folk.
I think you're right. Okay, yeah. I don't know. A +1 tribal lord for a creature that's never had one. It's probably a lot of creatures. Humans has one. I mean, humans squirrels. Has a ton. Are there 50 squirrels?
No, there's
squirrels?
Plus one, plus one. No, there's not 50 squirrels, but there is plus one lords for squirrels.
Then it's not squirrels.
You're right.
Tweet at us with your plus one tribal lord of desire. Which one do you want? With hashtag plus one lord of desire.
Lord of desire.
All right, the next one is a character with a Vanguard card and a legendary creature card.
That gets
a character with a Vanguard card and a legendary creature card gets a second of the latter.
Yes.
So it gets another legendary creature card. So if you look up the Vanguard cards, there's quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see, like, there's a lot of options here. I saw a post on all of the options for the Vanguard cards. I think there was like 15 or 16 options. But you could get like another Multani. Mm-hmm. You could get a Mishra. You could get Selenia. I think Akroma. Is Akroma legendary? Akroma Angel? The actual card? Yeah. I don't know if it's a... Is it?
Yeah, there's but there's also like Akroma's Monument and all that kind of stuff too.
Gotcha. Squee... Miri, there's a lot of Zancha is another option.
Mm-hmm,
so mm-hmm. we're getting somebody, but this is the only reason why I thought I was like, well, I mean, Miri was Weatherlight, right? So if we got another Miri, right?
I think it's gonna be Volrath.
You think? Oh, we could get another Volrath. We just got one in Commander, but now we could have a non-Commander Volrath.
Yep.
I mean, it could be played in Commander, but that's legal in a set other than Commander.
He is from the Weatherlight. Time frame as well.
Yeah.
So that still makes sense. That's still on flavor. And I say, just kind of going further into the list, there doesn't seem to be like a whole lot about like enemies or something. And there's got to be a bad guy, right? It's got to be a bad guy.
Oh, it's got to be a bad guy.
Sultai bad guy. Let's go.
Sultai bad guy.
It's the opposite of blue white. Just kidding. It's got blue.
So
I'm just
good. I don't know. Blue seems bad.
We'll see.
A card with 31 different options.
So I was trying to do the math for this one just to determine what you can actually do with this card, how it's going to be formatted and stuff. 31 is a prime number, so it doesn't break down into anything. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how to math it. I'm an engineer and I can't math it. I don't understand.
I'm not an engineer and I don't math it intentionally.
Someone please explain to me the math behind 31.
I don't know
options.
What 31 different options are. I guess it could be like Crystalline Giant, but they list out 31 keyword abilities. Oh, roll a 31 sided die.
Yeah, easy. No problem.
A card that gains all activated abilities of a certain subset of cards in a place that it's never been done before.
Yeah, so where is it getting its abilities from?
It gains activated abilities of a subset of cards in a place it's never done it before.
So this is Necrotic Ooze, but instead of gains all activated abilities of all creatures in your graveyard, it gains all activated abilities of creatures in your hand?
Of enchantments in your opponent's hands.
All activated of a certain subset of cards... I think it's going to be creatures.
Can you imagine if it was like, this has all activated abilities of all enchantments in your opponent's hands. They must reveal their hands now.
Yeah. It just becomes...
Opponents play with their hands face up.
Yeah, exactly.
Telepathy on an activated ability. That'd be kind of cool, actually.
It becomes telepathy, and then one person reveals the green ley line. You're like, wow, I actually do have an activated ability I can use.
Someone's holding Dawn of Hope. You're like, sweet, I make a bunch of 1/1s with lifelink.
Oh my gosh.
It makes sense that it would be a creature from your opponent's graveyards or
is this? I guess opponent's graveyards has never been done, has it? So it's not from exile because they have like cage counters and stuff that are from exile.
Oh, with Marisil?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not from graveyard because of Necrotic Ooze, at least your graveyard. Opponent's graveyard, that's actually a pretty good one.
That'd be kind of cool.
I think it's going to be from hand.
From your hand?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like reveal any number of creatures from your hand, and this creature gains all activated abilities of all revealed creatures this way. Although does that enter, could be
does it enter the battlefield and has them for as long as you control it? So like you reveal them when you play it, and then
maybe you have to like tap it to activate it. So like tap activate, reveal any number. It gains and activated then, a bit. Mm,
no, because then it's already tapped, so a tap ability.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe it's that. Maybe there's like they need to make it that weak because otherwise, like giving your noble hierarch the activated abilities of your the demon people play in modern, pay 7 life, draw 7 cards.
Yes, that is. Oh my gosh, why can't I remember what it is? Oh, it's such a good card too.
Yeah.
I've lost to that because that was played in, you're looking it up right now, right?
Yeah. Yes.
He looks like he's hard at work typing feverishly. Grizzlebrand. Pay 7 life. Grizzlebrand.
So yeah, so as I'm thinking through this mechanic, I realize Grizzlebrand is breaking this mechanic very quickly. So although it's
but
not,
Grizzlebrand's
not legally
banned in Commander, so you're That's good true. Anyway. That's you're true. Good. You're For good. Maybe it is that. I'd
but
be
this
fine with
Corset
that.
2021 will be legal in Modern, so we do have to keep that in mind for our speculations.
Sure. A card that uses a non-evergreen named ability over 20 years old. I hope it's like... So it's Corset Teferi. Mm-hmm. Teferi's all about phasing.
For sure.
So Teferi, that was his thing. He's like, oh, goodbye. Oh, I'm going to bring it right back. Hold on. Mm-hmm. We're going to leave for like just a smidgen of a minute. I realize I say smidge a lot.
Just a smidgen.
Do I say sure a lot? Do I still say sure a lot? If I say sure a lot, message me on Twitter and tell me if I say sure. I don't.
I will. Don't worry. I'll message you right now.
Are you just going to tweet me right now? You say sure a lot. So there is... An alleged card that was spoiled.
Okay.
Leaks, rumors, and teasers of a new Teferi. Again, this is, well, that's not, obviously we know there's a new Teferi, but if you don't want to hear any spoilers or leaks,
plug your ears.
You know, just come back when we say to come back. Don't do that because I don't know what time. They won't know when.
Just stay.
Phase out. No, you phase out for a minute and then phase back in. We'll be done with this section.
Lend me your ears. The teasers are coming.
The new Teferi, this one says 2 blue, loyalty 5. You can use this Teferi's ability anytime you could play an instant. So just anytime. Has +1, draw a card, then discard a card. -3, target creature you don't control phases out, so it disappears and comes back at the beginning of that person's next upkeep. And then -10, take 2 extra turns after this one.
2 extra turns?
That's -10, to be fair, and you start at 5, but you could -10 after you play it with one...
You deep glow skate. You
one deep glow skate, and you take 2 turns.
That's not good. I hope that's fake.
So there's that, but also could we see a card like Teferi's Protection be printed into Standard?
That it wouldn't be that bad in Standard.
No, I'd be so happy. That card needs to be reprinted. It's so good. And it says it uses a non-evergreen named ability over 20 years old. And it Teferi's Protection says, until your next turn, your life total can't change and your permanents have protection from everything. All permanents you control phase out. So they don't gain phasing, right?
Right.
They phase out. So I mean, like, Teferi's Protection could certainly be reprinted, right? I'd be thrilled. That's a really good
card. I just wonder if phasing is too complicated of a mechanic for, like, the typical Magic Timmy or something, you know, that just shows up to F&M with a budget deck or something, if they could understand. Like banding has that problem. People don't understand how banding works, and that's why they got rid of banding and they won't bring it back. I'm wondering if phasing is similar, and I don't know, like, if like cumulative upkeep is 20 years old or if something like that would actually come back, or suspend counters. I don't know what's 20 years old. That's the problem.
I mean, you can click on a card that's really old. Like, so Mirage, I mean, it's just a really old set.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Mirage is 20 years old. Mirage MTG is from 1996. That is definitely 20 years old.
Yeah, 24 years old.
24, yeah, at least 20. I mean, there's been other confusing mechanics, right? I mean,
sure.
you gotta bring something back sometimes. So I'd be happy with phasing. I don't think phasing is a great mechanic if it phases in and phases out every other turn or every turn, unless it has haste.
It won't. It's Teferi. It's slow. All the games are going to be slow. Your pre-release is going to take 5 hours to finish.
All right. My money's on phasing. My money's on phasing. I'm calling it now. I'm calling it now.
Fingers crossed. I honestly don't have a guess. I'm not even going to guess. I
guess
all nothing.
Right. The next one's a card with the words battlefield, cast, creature, converted mana cost, end of turn, exile, graveyard, and mana cost. All on one card.
I wonder what it could be. There's just so much going on in this card. Whenever you cast a creature or enters the battlefield, if it has converted mana cost 3 or less, exile target opponent's graveyard.
This could be a modal spell. What if it's a modal spell that says, like, on it, when this creature enters the battlefield, so you got creature in battlefield, and was cast from your hand, you choose one of these things. This creature's, destroy target creature with converted mana cost something, mm-hmm. or until end of turn do this, or exile this, or you could do exile this until end of turn, exile somebody's graveyard, or I don't know how to include mana cost, but I feel like this could be a modal spell that gives you like 4 or 5 modes, and these things are all just mentioned as something different on it. 5-color modal spell.
That's ridiculous, but
that'd be fun. Cool. 5 colors for 5 options.
We're going to find out this is like a 3-mana common or something that is modal, but it's just force of nature. Just it costs 3 mana now instead of 2. Or not force of nature. Back to nature.
Back. Return to nature?
Return to nature.
Synonyms. just back to nature, like, is just back to the future, but for magic. Back to nature.
We just go back in time when Infect and Eldrazi were rampant. Let's go. Zendikar's coming.
Gross. All right. The next one. An aura inspired from a cycle from Urza's Saga block.
I wasn't around when Urza's Saga was going on.
I wasn't either, right? I started in 2011, 12, 13. Took me 3 tries, but it's 2013 was when Gatecrash came out.
You found it.
I got there. I just had to say 11, 12, 13. So I could prove to the listeners that I can count.
At least from 11 to 13, yeah.
Only true. From 11 to 13. Yeah. Then you have to count by 2s starting on 13. I've never had to do that.
Count by 2s starting? No, who does that?
Why not?
I don't know.
So, Urza's Saga... it was a rhetorical question. Urza's Saga block. It could be Rancor, because there is green-white... like there's a Boggles deck in Standard right now. Or Rancor would be great. +2/+0. When this creature dies, return it to your hand. And I think it also gives it Trample.
Okay, yeah. And then... So, Rancor is inspired from a cycle from Urza's Saga block?
It was actually in Urza's Saga block. It was in Urza's, is this Legacy? Urza's Legacy. Yes, the one that looks like a hammer.
Okay, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Enchanted creature gets +2/+0 and has trample. When it's put into the graveyard from play, return it to your hand. A Boggles deck in Standard is great. The green-white Auras deck is already great. So throw this in there. That's my vote.
I just looked up the Urza's Saga Wikipedia page to look at the different enchantment cycles that were in here.
Mm-hmm.
We have perpetual enchantments like Brilliant Halo, Launch, Despondency, Fiery Mantle, and Fortitude, which are common aura enchantments, each with a CMC of two that go to graveyard and are returned to their owner's hand. So very much like Rancor. So seems right. There's a few other enchantment cycles here, but yeah, I think you're spot on.
And then the next item on here is a non-evergreen enchantment subtype returns.
Yes.
So you've got, there's only a few options here. You've got Aura, Cartouche, Curse, Saga, and Shrine. I'd be thrilled with Shrines coming back. Well, Sagas are pretty common.
Since we're going to see a Planeswalker from Amonkhet that we haven't seen before, that they're going to bring Cartouche back.
Okay, so your vote's
double
on Cartouche.
Double down on the Amonkhet Planeswalker.
I'm going to go with Shrine because we just added Shrines to the historic format on Arena. I could go for some Shrines.
I do think Curse is actually probably a pretty good guess too. Because the whole, if you know about the story of Teferi and how he phased out Zalfir and it never came back, and maybe that's sort of like a curse. It's following Teferi.
The curse of Zalfir, wherever he goes, it just disappears.
It's still gone. It's just
what
gone.
A story. What a story. Where's Teferi's going? Where is Teferi going next? That plane is just gone. Like they can never return to it.
Uh-oh. At least as long as you're not leaving atomic Phyrexian bombs everywhere you go. Karn.
Yeah, right. So that's it for the new and exciting cards. Now let's get to the non-new and the ones that aren't exciting. So
it'll be pretty exciting.
No, it says reprints. So a popular character first introduced in flavor text. So this is one that people are suggesting would be Ugin, the mm-hmm. spirit dragon,
mm-hmm.
which would be a wonderful reprint. Because Ugin the Spirit Dragon was initially previewed in flavor text a long, long, long time before we saw Ugin. I'd be down for another Ugin reprint. Give me Ugin.
So do you think Ugin would be like too powerful for the format or anything?
No. Okay. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. That's a lot of mana. Fires of Invention's gone, so...
It is. So I'll tell you right now that Geiruda is 6 mana, and you can consistently get him out on turn 4, but you can actually pretty consistently have 7 mana on turn 4. So you could be dropping Ugi on 4 in the current format.
Okay.
So Ugi on 4, is it too strong?
Hmm.
Because that's one turn after Natural Tron, to be fair.
I don't know. I mean, I played Standard when Ugin was legal in Standard, and it wasn't miserable. So
okay.
You just had to take it out. It was always played in a control deck. So they never really played creatures or anything. So if they didn't have Ugin on that turn, it was like they had to deal with other things.
Right, right.
I mean, there's a lot of Planeswalkers that I feel like their character was introduced in flavor text before it, like Nahiri the Lithomancer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure she was, maybe she wasn't referenced. I'm assuming she was. I feel like she was referenced in a card, or like Jaya Ballard has been definitely referenced in flavor text. I just don't know how many old ones. That could be so many.
Right.
It could be so many.
Lot. Yeah. There has to be a lot.
The next one is a French vanilla mythic rare. So yep. A French vanilla creature is creatures that only have keyword abilities.
Okay.
So
is people it gonna are be saying, green?
People are saying like Baneslayer Angel that has like everything.
Yeah, Baneslayer Angel has flying for a strike, lifelink, protection from demons and from dragons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be fine with that. I mean, I like the keyword vomit cards.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's so good. Flying First Strike Lifelink, 5/5. It's only 5 mana.
Oh, you know what? It can't be. You know, initially when we were talking about new and exciting cards.
Yeah.
The aura. It said an aura inspired from a cycle. Rancor. Oh, that's why I have Rancor on my mind. It's an aura inspired. So the first one couldn't have been Rancor, but there is one that says a popular aura that started as part of a cycle. That's why I have Rancor in my head, because if it started as part of a cycle, which Rancor is part of a cycle, I think that that's a reprint, not a new and exciting card. I wonder what the reprint is, or what the new one is.
I mean, Rancor is based on a cycle from Urza Saga.
Correct, but the first one that we read was a card or an aura inspired from a cycle. And that's under his list of exciting new cards.
Oh, okay. So it could,
be two things.
Yeah, I guess it could be a reprint, or maybe it is a new card. I don't know if I can read it either, like with only reading it one way. I think I could read that both ways.
Well, the first one is listed under he has two sections. He has new and exciting cards and then reprints.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the new one could be something similar to when it's put into a graveyard, it comes back to your hand. But I feel like the one that's reprinted is going to be Rancor.
Okay.
The next one is a card with a unique protection.
And not just protection from demons and from dragons? Like it's even newer than that?
Yeah, I mean, we have cards. I mean, it could be like, it has protection from even CMC.
Protection from dogs.
Protection from good boys. No, I don't know. Protection from opponents that have more than four cards in their hand. I don't know. I mean, I could see that printed. Like if your opponent has more than X cards in hand, this creature cannot be targeted by them. Like, that's not that difficult to understand, right? So, I don't know. It could be something like that.
Seems reasonable.
Two cards played in tournaments that have been reprinted over 20 times with at least 5 different pieces of art.
I have my guess for this one.
All right, what's your guess?
Opt and Shock. Very boring guess.
What about... I mean, I don't dislike either of those. I like Opt and I like Shock.
Mm-hmm.
I think, isn't Lightning Bolt with its new secret layer printings, doesn't that count now, technically?
Yeah, probably. I just don't think they're going to print it in Standard.
It's not an expensive card.
No, it's not.
I'd be fine putting it back in Standard, no? When was the last time it was in Standard?
Before I played Standard. Long, long time ago, in a galaxy far away,
it lived was a boy named Anakin. In M11.
Okay.
So I think that looks like it was the most recent. Oh, it was in M10 and M11.
I guess it would make sense to print it in a core set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think
it has more. If you need a set of lightning bolts, now's your time to get them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get them now for $4 or whatever.
Yeah. They look cool.
They do. Well, are you talking the secret layer
ones? The secret layer ones. I mean, they all look cool, okay? It's lightning bolt. It's a giant energy coming down from the sky and going, just destroying somebody's face.
A card that has never previously appeared in a premiere set.
What's the definition of a premiere set?
I couldn't find definition of a premiere set.
So literally any card. Boom. Premiere set.
I mean, premiere set, I assume, is one that's printed as part of a block or just as a regular set.
So this has only been printed in supplementary sets? That's what they mean?
Or an introductory set? I mean, there's people online that are suggesting Grim Tutor because it was printed only in Magic Starter 1999.
Okay.
So, like, that's not really a core set, a set that was... I don't know the definition of premier set.
No.
But Grim Tutor, I mean, that'd be kind of cool to get one. The card's fine. It's one black. It's Demonic Tutor for instead of one and a black, it's one black. You lose 3 life in addition, but you just put it right into your hand. The card right now, you can buy it for $183.
No big deal. $183 for a 3-mana tutor. Puke. I'm puking right now.
Yeah, it was printed in Starter 1999. So I have cards from Starter 99 set. I only know because I'm looking at the set symbol right now, and it's just a star.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that when filtering through some of my bulk.
Oh, yeah. I assume, based on what people are saying, I mean, from what I've been reading, it seems to make sense. But it could be completely off. Who knows? A card that's never been reprinted before, which has a 2, 3, 5, and a 6 all on the card.
2, 3, a 5, and a 6.
So, we talked about this one yesterday as a card that people are thinking. And so some people were like, oh, it could be, Kenrith the Return, but Kenrith doesn't have a 6 on the card. And so if you search on Scryfall, it appears the only card that it could be is Lighthouse Chronologist, which is a level up card. For 1 and a blue, he is a human wizard that has level up for a single blue. At level 1, it's just a 1-3, I guess. Levels 4 through 6, it's a 2-4, and level 7 plus, it becomes a 3-5 that has at the beginning of each end step, if it's not your turn, take an extra turn after this one. I play this card in Vorel of the Hulkblade, and I've had this happen one time, and I got 6 extra turns off of it. Still did not win the game, it was really cool going, okay, are you done with your turn? All right, let me take a turn. Okay, now we go across the table to you. Okay, you're done, I'm going to take a turn. Jeez. Yeah, I didn't do a whole lot, but it has all of the numbers on the card. So, a 2, 3, 5, and a 6.
So now what if this is a Morrow Troll here and the artwork actually has one of those numbers in it?
Ooh, is there an option? Do you have a card that has that in it?
I didn't look up the artworks that have 2, 3, 5, and 6. I don't know how to do that.
The only card I can think of is like Baron Von Count, but yes. I don't know what numbers is in Baron Von Count's artwork or if that's written out in text anywhere.
He counts down from 5, I think.
Is it 5? Let's look it up.
Countdown from 5.
I mean, I know they're not going to put, obviously they're not going to, yeah, it's from 5. They definitely don't put, they're not going to put a silver border card in here, but it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the artwork. And then on the card has a 5 and a 1. And then it's a 3-3. So it's definitely not Baron Von Count. So people are saying they think that it has to be Lighthouse Chronologist. Which is cool. Never been reprinted. It's a mythic. And if you can get it to 7+ counters, which requires 9 mana, which is fine. I'm cool. If you paid 9 mana to get a 3-5 that lets you take an extra turn after mine, you deserve those turns.
Yeah. It's not super, super great in standard, I can't imagine. But
proliferates in standard still, right? War of the Spark's not cycling out yet, so I guess there's still at least that.
Well, that's true, but you're only, I mean, you are getting 1 extra turn per round, which is really good, but it's not
they
3
take
extra
one, you
turns.
Take 2.
It's not 3 extra turns per round, like it would be in Commander, I guess so, comparatively.
But if that leaked Teferi is in, you just proliferate, take 2 turns, then take 1 turn in between each turn.
I'm gonna skip standard for a while. Oh, don't worry, we're gonna nerf companions and then print all the Teferi things.
It's so funny how different everyone's opinion is on companion. I have seen all the way to this is the best mechanic ever, all the way to this is the worst mechanic I've ever seen printed. I feel like I'm obviously closer to the worst side, but at least it's interesting.
It's gone now.
But I'm not yet. On Arena, I think you can still play with it until Friday.
Yeah, I mean, you can still play with it after that, too. You're just not going to want to.
Well, no, you can play with it without the rule change.
Yeah, I should play a lot right now.
Do you want to play Fires, Luca? You got 2 more days, I think. Maybe 1 day. I'm not sure how many days you have left. There's 2 more.
Yes.
The next one. Oh, I really hope I'm right on this one. A Human Monk. I would love another Monastery Mentor reprint.
That would be really good. So they still have that other quote monastery mentor unquote that they printed in one of the guilds. I think it was
Allegis. Oh, are you talking the one that makes the bird spirits? The murmuring mystic?
No. This is whenever you cast a multicolored spell, you get a 1/1 monk or something like that.
I literally am not even following. Really? Why am I not playing this card? I feel like I should be playing this card then. Have you cast a multicolored spell? Make a creature? From the guild kits? From the guild sets?
Yeah, it was from Allegiance, I think.
Ravnica? And is it multicolored itself?
No, it's white.
It's, Hero of Precinct 1. Yes, Hero of Precinct 1. But those don't also get prowess.
They don't. It's fair.
And Hero of Precinct 1, it requires a... What is it when you cast with that?
Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, create a 1/1.
Multicolored spell, yeah. Monastery Mentor just cares about non-creature spells.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me opt 4 times real quick. All right, cool. I block you with all of my big creatures.
Boom.
All right, my turn. I'm going to cast a bunch of lightning bolts. If lightning bolt's in standard.
Lightning bolt, opt, and Monastery Mentor?
Yeah, that's what I'm playing. Like Jeskai.
Jeskai Mentor.
Jeskai Mentor. And you that's could what I'll play.
You could play the two different copies of Teferi that you're going to have access to.
Well, I assume there's going to be maybe 3 Teferis if they do like they did with the Chandra set where they've got the evolutions of Teferi. They could have 3. So I could play 4 Teferis, 4 Monastery Mentors, and then Lightning Bolts and Ops. They're all non-creature spells, so Monastery Mentor makes a monk even off a Planeswalker cast, I think.
I'm just going to reiterate that I think I'm skipping standard for a while.
It can't be any worse than Jeskai Luka.
That's true. So, yeah, Jeskai Luka did have like a 55% win rate. So
It was crazy. All right, and we have one more. A card from the Time Spiral, Time Shifted Sheet. I feel like they said sheet for a reason, and I wonder why the word sheet is in here and not just from Time Spiral or Time Shifted.
Just directly off the sheet.
It says sheet. I wonder if it's really... What if they have a bunch of sheets and they cut one card out of each and it's like it could be different because they did that in, I think, the original Zendikar. Mm-hmm. They had like their version of like the expedition lands, they were like prizes and they could have been like old cards from like Alpha, Beta and stuff. And they were like, maybe when they were printing these, they're like, oh, we just found like 8 million sheets of Time Shifted and Time Spiral. Let's just cut them all up and stick one card in each pack.
They might.
Yeah, I mean, they've done it before. That's what they did with Zendikar.
Yeah.
They just threw some cards in. It's my understanding of that. And people can't. Huh?
As I'm literally just looking through the cards right now just to see what could possibly be printed on this. If it was just one card.
It says a card from the Time Spiral, Time Shifted. So maybe it's Time Shifted? Time Shifted. Okay, so there's that weird... There was the symbol where the rarity was purple.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Time Shifted. That's what that meant.
Yeah, okay, so it has to be one of the Time Shifted. So it says in the Time Spiral set, Time Shifted cards make up 121 card subset of entirely pre-Mirrodin reprints.
You know, the Mirari is on this list, and actually that would be pretty cool, at least for the story.
Or is it Mirari's Wake? Something was just added to Historic on Arena.
Yeah, Mirari's Wake would have been.
Is it Mirari's Wake?
Yeah, not okay. Mirari. Mirari is a really weird card. It's not played a lot. It's five.
It's the artifact, right?
Yeah, 5 generic. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you may pay 3 generic. If you do copy that spell, you may choose new targets for the copy. I play it in Firesong and Sunspeaker.
Seems fun.
It can be. Or it can just be a waste of a card sometimes, too.
You gotta have the build around cards, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can build around that.
Hey, Teferi's Moat is on a Time Shifted card.
What does Teferi's Moat do?
It's three, a white and a blue. It's an enchantment. It says, as Teferi's Moat comes into play, choose a color. Creatures of the chosen color without flying can't attack you.
That's a card.
It's the only one I can find. Oh, Coalition Victory. It's on Plane Shifted.
If Let's only make that it was happen. Commander legal. Come on, make that Commander legal. Come on.
You probably could.
Coalition Victory is banned in Commander, though.
I know. You probably could legalize it. It'd probably be okay.
That one's the one that requires you have one of each basic land and a permanent of each color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think you could win pretty easily, though, right? You just ramp to get your basics and then play a card that says, this is all colors.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not in your command zone or anything, so you still have to find it.
True, that is true. You do have to actually go get the card. You do have to go get the card. So those were the spoilers, or I guess those were the hints, the teaser for Core 2021. So previews start tomorrow at 10 a.m. Again, check out twitch.tv/magic at 10 a.m. Eastern time, or whatever that equates to in your time.
Whatever time you're coming from.
So if we're getting a bunch of spells, I'm going to use that to segue into my commander of the week, Tibor and Lumia, which is a Spells Matters deck.
Sure is.
Kind of a Spells Matters deck, because it also cares about the colors of the spells, which I guess is also a commander thing. Because you care about colors. Yeah. So Tibor and Lumia is a 3/3 legendary creature human wizard that says whenever you cast a blue spell, target creature gains flying until end of turn. And whenever you cast a red spell, Tibor and Lumia deals one damage to all creatures without flying. So each creature without flying. So you can very easily, as we've learned with Coil in the past, you can wipe out a goblin deck fairly easily with Tibor and Lumia. So it's not very fun to play against Coil's Cranko deck because it's like, I make 20 goblins. I'm like, cool, I kill 20 goblins.
Yep.
Not turn. Fun. So we don't pair that deck up together. But it gets really fun when you rely on cards that give Tibor and Lumia additional abilities themselves, like giving them Death Touch. Or giving them lifelink or flying, because then they don't hurt themselves. So specifically, there are some enchantments that you want to rely on when you're playing this deck, right? So you're playing a Spellslinger deck, you're playing blue spells, you're playing red spells, you're playing gold spells that are both colors, which are preferred. But before you start doing all those, you want to try to find a couple of cards that make Tibor and Lumia terrifying for everyone. Basilisk Collar is the preferred. It gives your equipped creature Death Touch and Lifelink. So if you're playing Tibor and Lumia and they're equipped, when you cast a red spell, you deal one Death Touch damage and one Lifelink damage to all creatures on the board, including themselves. So if you don't play a blue spell to give Tibor and Lumia flying, they kill themselves. I have run into the issue of not having a blue spell and only having red spells far too many times. So I had to completely redo the layout of cards that I was playing because I could not give them flying to save my life.
Or their life.
That's even better. I also play Gorgon Flail. It's an equipment that equipped creature gets +1/+1 in Death Touch. And Gorgon's Head, equipped creature has Death Touch. Those ones make it really difficult for people to keep their creatures on the board. I also play a card called Nico T. It's a very interesting card. It says whenever the it's an artifact equipment that says whenever the equipped creature deals damage to a creature, tap that creature. As long as Nico T remains in play, that creature doesn't untap. And then whenever the equipped creature deals damage to a player, that player loses one life. That's a little less relevant. But if you can keep Tibor and Lumia out once and tap down everybody's creature, if they can't remove the artifact for the actual equipment, it doesn't have to be equipped. It just has to be sitting out. People's creatures don't untap. So that's actually pretty relevant. I've been staring down some giant creatures before and they're like, I don't have artifact removal. And I was like, well, I don't have a way to get rid of your creature at this point. So just let it sit out there tapped for a while.
Oh yeah.
Some other important cards. there is a card called Charisma. It's an enchantment for blue, blue, blue. Whenever enchanted creature deals damage to a creature, you gain control of it for as long as charisma remains on the battlefield. So if you have Tiborne Lumion, you deal one damage to all of your opponent's creatures, you gain control of all of them for as long as you have charisma. Now, it's an aura, so if they get rid of the aura or Tiborne Lumion, it falls off and then they gain control of all their creatures again. But it's really cool if it sticks. I also play one of the win cons is Repercussion. It's an enchantment for one red-red. Whenever a creature is dealt damage, Repercussion deals damage to that creature's controller. So Tiborne Lumia, if your opponent has 10 creatures and you deal 1 damage to each of them, you deal 10 damage to your opponent. So it's really relevant. If you can give Tiborne Lumia lifelink, you also gain that much life, so you don't hurt yourself as much because it counts for your creatures too. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. You will wipe out your own creatures quite often in this deck. So I'm playing, since I'm playing spells, I'm playing creatures that care about spells. I'm playing Young Pyromancer. When I cast an instant or sorcery, you make an elemental creature. I'm playing Talrand Sky Summoner to make drakes when you cast an instant or sorcery. Murmuring Mystic, you make birds when you do the same thing. Docent of Perfection makes wizards. I'm playing Gutter Snipe. You deal 2 damage to each opponent when you cast an instant or sorcery. It can snowball fast or it can fall flat on its face. If Tiborne Lumia is not out, it doesn't really do much. This is a deck completely built around the commander. I will say I finally added Niv-Mizzet Perrin to the deck the other week. I played this deck last week and I drew at least 10 cards with him on the battlefield because I do play Aristic Study. So that was really cool. Yeah. And then there's a couple of other interesting cards that aren't seen very often. Some of the old flip cards from the Kamigawa block. So one of them is Student of Elements. It says when Student of Elements has flying, flip it. And it turns over into a legendary creature that says creatures you control have flying. So Tiborne Lumia then can't hurt your own creatures. So you cast a blue spell, you give it flying, it flips, and now everything is flying. You also I also run a card called Hamura, Human Ascendant. It is a 4/4 monk that can't block. And it says when it's put into a graveyard, return it to play and flip it. So again, an old Kamigawa flip card that says creatures you control get +2/+2, have flying and fire breathing. Mm. So you just have to get rid of your 4/4 creature that can't block. It's a little more difficult to do than you would think because no one wants to block that 4/4. Sure.
Hey, so that's 4 free damage, though.
It's 4 free damage. You have to get life, or you have to put Death Touch on Tiborne Lumia for the most part to kill that creature to flip it. and then I just play a bunch of spells, a lot of blue-red spells. So cards like Mind Swipe is a counter spell. You counter target spell unless its controller pays X, and then it deals X damage to that spell's controller. Leap of Flame to give a creature +1/+0 and flying. So you can give 2 creatures flying. Is it Charm, Electrolyze, Counterflux, Cerebral Vortex draws you some cards. So you're playing a lot of blue and white spells. I will say I do have Epic Experiment in here. It's a sorcery that says pay blue, red, and X, and you exile the top X cards of your library. For each instant or sorcery with converted mana cost X or less, you cast them for free, and then you put them into exile. Or the cards that weren't cast go into your graveyard. I have cast, I think, Epic Experiment for 14 at one point, and I only got 2 cards. So I had to rework this because I did not have enough instants and sorceries. I run a lot of artifacts because the deck's really expensive mana-wise.
Right.
I will say I think... Of all the cards, there's a really fun gacha card in this deck, and it's Mass Diminish. Until your next turn, creatures target player controls have base power and toughness 1/1. So you cast that, and you give Tiborne Lumia flying, or whoever flying, and then you cast just a red spell, and you wipe out someone's board. So whoever's got the giant scary stuff, you cast this. It's a sorcery for 1 on a blue, so you do have to do it on your own turn if you're not running cards like Quicken. Which I am, so I haven't gotcha with a real gotcha, okay. But I would like to gotcha at some point. But Mass Diminish is really good, and then Mystic's Mastery is there because I want to cast all my instant sorceries from my graveyard. So it's just a Spellslinger deck. It's really fun. I played it on I didn't play it on stream yet, so I would like to play this on stream so that there are more Tibor and Lumia games out there, because there are not very many out there.
Right,
it's
right.
A pretty old commander, so I will have the link to the deck in the notes below, and if there's any questions on this deck, send them my way.
I have a question on the deck.
You do?
Yes. For clarification purposes, if you were to cast a gold card that is both blue and red, how does that trigger with Tibor and Lumia?
It is, you resolve spells from the top down, like a modal spell. So you would, when you cast a blue spell, you do that, and then you cast the red spell, that happens.
So it happens in that
order. So you can give, yeah. So if your creature already has Death Touch and you cast a blue and a red spell, you give your creature flying first, and then the damage is dealt.
Can you choose to do it the other way around?
That's a good question. I've never needed to answer that question.
Okay.
I will ask Judge Anthony or Judge Chris and follow up on that next week's episode. Let me write a note right now so that I can follow up on that. Hold on. Tibor and Lumia stacking their static ability.
And then how do you feel about how Tibor and Lumia are portrayed in War of the Spark Forsaken novel?
Spoiler alert, rip.
Yep.
Isn't it only Tibor that appears in that novel and just dies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they just talk about, at one point they're like, oh, we lost so many from the Izzet League, and it mentions like four names, and it's like Tibor's like number three. It's not even listed as number one. Mm-mm. It's just
one of those guys.
Just stuck right in the middle. Oh, you know, Tibor. I'm sad about that.
Okay.
Now, maybe Lumia will get their own card in the future.
That'd be cool.
It's called Just Lumia. Lumia, alone.
Lumia the Widowed.
Are they married?
Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yep.
Oh. I just learned something.
Yep, husband and wife team of Archmages.
Lumia. And she could be, maybe she gets another color. No, she's going to stay Izzet, but like Lumia. Lumia the Vengeful.
Yeah.
And she does like crazy things.
It's Grixis.
She gets black. Oh, she's mm-hmm. Grixis now? Okay. But she's got to be a planeswalker then. Because I assume.
Sure.
Lumia
but also, Sparks. Also allowed to be your commander.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yes. Yep. Legendary planeswalker.
Yep.
Well, that is it for our episode this week. Thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast on Twitter at GuardianPod. You can find me on Twitter at ATFlory.
You can find me on Twitter at WormCoilEngine.
And you can email us at GuardianProjectPodcast.com. We stream, we never mention this really, but we do stream Paper Commander now on Wednesdays and Fridays. You can check that out at twitch.tv/ATFlory. And then also if you're on Discord and you're interested in joining the discussion, send us a message and we'll send you an invite. So come talk with us. And then we will talk with you all next week at our 1 year anniversary episode.
Woo!
You're cutting out because you're yelling so loud.
Woo!
Next week, you guys will hear from producer Ryan, who's going to talk
about
all the thing he knows about Magic the Gathering now, because he's an expert.
Expert.
He's shaking. He's laughing and shaking his head no, because he's not.
He's gonna have to fill. He's gonna have to fill a 30-minute segment. If we have to fill that 30-minute segment with 15 minutes of silence, we will.
Yeah, Ryan is going to. There's a whole section next week that's what Ryan's favorite color philosophy and magic is, and why.
Yeah.
So Ryan's prepared for this. He's already written it. And he's excited to take up the majority of the episode.
he named the essay "What Part of the Pie Gonna Make You Die?" And it's really well written.
It's great. It every other line rhymes. The last word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Ryan, we're excited for you to share your work of art that you've been working on for the last long, 6 months maybe? Yeah, 6 months.
It'll be the first time I actually saw magic mixed with iambic pentameter, so I'm really excited.
All right, well, we are going to talk to you all next week, and Cam, hang out with us on stream on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Root for me. I always go first.
Coil always goes first. He really does always go first. I roll like a 4, and you're like, I got a 12.
I got 12s or rerolls, though. Got to reroll.
12s or rerolls. I rolled a 10. Coil's like, I got an 11.
Yeah, what? Sorry.
What the F?
Sorry, I win.
Oh, I got a 7. Got an 8. Damn. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
It's always one more.
You just got to one up me.
You got a 12. Tie. Reroll.
Thought I get a 2.